when a child is going from an infant to now become a child, you know, at a time you have a child, is an infant, then from there it progresses, it makes a progress. At that particular point in time, he's going to make a separation. The second time he's going to make a separation is when he's changing role, when he's now going, when the child is now going from a child to adolescence. And when that thing is happening, those of us who are parents must also change our roles from managers to consultants. Because when they are small, when they are infants, you are doing a lot of management. But the moment they begin growing, your own role needs to change. And one thing you must bear in mind is you start with the end in mind. Like you heard that, begin with the end in mind. Habits of highly effective people. When you close your eyes, you must ask yourself this question. What kind of adult will I want this child that is 9 today, this child that is 5 today, what kind of adult will I want this child to be? Forget the child's behavior. In your mind, envision, have a vision of the kind of adult that you want this child to be. Now, raising children is not easy. Raising healthy children is not easy. I remember when we were not married, we see children misbehaving. We tell ourselves, when I become a mother, what I will do? Do you understand that? When I become a mother, what I will just do? I will do it like this, I will do it like that, I will do it like that. You have all of that on your lips. But when you eventually become a mother, you discover that as they take, they call papa. No, we say they take, they call mama. The whole dynamics is so different. It's like when you're normal, you say, when I marry, I will do like this, I will do like that, I will do like that. It's as easy as in a dream, you can become anything. That is, you can sleep at night and become the pastor of the largest church in the world. It's possible. You didn't print any handbill. You didn't buy any speaker. You didn't go for any evangelism. You just sleep. It's the same way. So raising healthy children is not easy. So if you know anybody that have children, if it's easy for us to stop criticizing and begin praying for them, because one day you are going to be a mother. Even if you decide that you are now a reverend father or a reverend sister, you also have your church members to parent. So what are the two or three things that you must take home? Number one, you must have three non-negotiable rules to parent these children when your roles have changed. You must have three non-negotiable rules. I didn't say four, I didn't say five, I didn't say six. Three, so that you will remember, the child will remember. Number two, you must have a list of what you feel a healthy adult should look like. The character traits of a healthy adult, that when I see this, I will recognize it. And number three, you must have two tools in your hands that you're going to use to do this transition. Those are the things we're going, as time will permit us, those are the three things we're going to discuss. What are the character traits? What are the traits of a healthy adult? Number one. Number two, what are the three rules I'm going to hold as a consultant to move on this journey? Then number three, what are the two tools I'm going to hold in my hands to make this journey? So which one should we start with? Which of these should we start with? Everybody will say healthy adults. When I was thinking about this, something was coming to my mind. You see the way your children will offend you sometimes, you really, really, really go mad. Sometimes you do the same to God. The difference is that he doesn't go mad. He extends grace to you. So we must learn how to extend grace to our children. Foolishness abounds in the heart of a child. The rod of correction removes it. Now, the rod of correction is not the rod of rage. In dealing with you, God will always extend grace and mercy to you. So how do we extend grace? How do we parent our children and then extend grace and mercy to them? So let's take, you're going to do some listing if I have. Number one, any person who is a healthy adult, my daughter said I should talk about love. I said, no, I've been talking about love today. I want to talk about something different. If you want to have a healthy adult, you want to know if the adult you have is healthy, there must be a clear sense of what is right and wrong. So there's an internal moral compass that is directing this child. No wonder the Bible said you will hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way, walk in it. An adult has a clear sense of right and wrong. So when, while you are consulting for your children, while you are educating, while you are talking to them, make sure you instill a sense of right and wrong. Now, we live in a world that is called post-truth. Post-truth simply means that the things we called truth yesterday seems not to be truth anymore. And ladies and gentlemen, the culture has so changed that if you don't understand the changing culture, you'll be using old skills to parent your children. While we're talking about parenting, we'll also be talking to those of us who are growing into clear adults and are going to get married. Do you have a sense of right and wrong? If you don't have a clear sense of right and wrong, and we live in a polarized society, we can decide that white is no more white, red is no more red. In fact, we can make up our mind that anything goes. After all, we are progressive. Number two, okay, if you have, give me. Anybody who is a healthy adult, the second thing you're going to notice that this person has experienced. Is this one working or this one is working itself? Am I the one working it or is working itself? Okay. It's taking my heartache. Is this thing working me? I'm working it. Okay. Anybody who is a healthy adult, they must experience appropriate levels of pride for making good decisions and appropriate levels of guilt for making bad decisions. You know, sometimes you make a mistake, you beat yourself down, come into self-condemnation, and then open the door for the enemy to attack you. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is appropriate level of guilt. There is appropriate level. We have to be healthy to be able to separate these two. So how do we know an adult is healthy? An adult is healthy when he's able to make, when he makes a decision, is a bad decision. He's able to say, okay, I count my losses and move forward. And not move around and around and around and around that decision and then backslide from it. Number three, they are aware of their strengths and weaknesses and embrace each as part of who they are. I know that in the world of today, we're talking about self-esteem. Self-esteem is good. But the point is, are you aware of your strength? We must instill in the children these things I'm talking about. You are aware of your strength and you don't, my weaknesses are there. But you must first of all accept yourself. You can't keep denying the things that are there. You know, someone told me, he said, Pastor, what I want to say to you now is what God revealed to me. And I said, go ahead. He said, you know, sometimes God can just allow you to misbehave. I said, explain. He said, God understands our weaknesses. That at times when a young lady crosses your path and you have stretched and said, the Lord will now allow you liberty and forgive you in the process. The way my pastor spoke in tongues. We must be aware of our strengths, at the same time aware of our weaknesses. The reason why you must be aware of your weaknesses is this, so that you will know when to run. You know when this is not my area of strength. I've said this several in this church, that in our fellowship, we used to hug like we hug in this church. At the end of every service, we hug ourselves. So one day, Brother Franklin, not your husband, that's in our fellowship, came to me and said, Sister Katarina, must we hug like this in this church? I said, yes, we must hug. The Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss. He said, each time I hug sisters, my body goes scatter. So automatically, I would have passed a rule that day and say, from this church, we have forbidden hugging. Nobody should hug again. It's against the will of God to hug. You must understand your strength and understand your weaknesses. Those of you who are teenagers, they say we're doing a pajamas party. Or we're doing, how do they say? They said we're doing sleepover. and then light goes off. You understand that these sleepover hands can move. And you understand your weaknesses. So we must understand, if you're a healthy adult, you must understand this is how much strength I have and this is how much weaknesses I have. The next one. Healthy adults are secure in their own identity, but do not believe that the world revolves around them. Healthy adults do not have an entitlement mentality. The world does not revolve around you. It's not all about you. There are some men who feel that blessings to womanhood. So anywhere, anything they do, they feel is a privilege. It should be a privilege to you that someone like me, I'm even dating you. There are four other girls I'm dating at the same time. Okay, we're going back to this place. What we're saying is that your children must recognize their identity. And then you must also help them to understand that the world does not revolve around them. And you understand that you are the only son. The world does not revolve around you. There are so many things happening. The world does not revolve around you. Tell your friend, the world does not revolve around you. Have you met anybody who thinks the world revolves around the person? You have met such people before. Is anyone here? Okay. The third one is that they are able to say no and also hear no when necessary. A healthy adult is able to say no. A healthy adult is able to hear no too. Some people say, I don't take no for an answer. There are some places where it is healthy not to take no for an answer. There are some places where it's thoroughly unhealthy to take no for an answer. A girl and a boyfriend went to the cinema to go and watch a movie. And then in the cinema, they must put off a light to watch movie. They don't watch it under light. And then the boy's hand began to move in the presence of God. And the girl says, I'm saying, oh no, oh no. And this thing ended in pregnancy. And the girl was not ready. And the parents rejected her. We must know, if you're healthy, you must know how to say no. There are many of us who can't say no at all. No is very difficult. What the person is asking you to do, you can't do. But if you say no, the person will get angry. If you say no, the person will not be your friend again. As if the person stopped being your friend, you will die. Not only will you know how to say no, you'll also be comfortable to hear when someone says no. There's nothing wrong with anybody telling you no. You are not God. Even if you are God, we are telling God no every day. He hasn't killed us. Are we together? A healthy adult must understand that responsibility is important. If we have to use motivation all the time to get you to do what you need to do, what about the day I'm not motivated? You must understand that as a healthy adult, responsibility, responding to your ability, the things that is your responsibility to do, if we have to continuously do motivation, motivate you. So which means the moment the motivation goes, you revert back to where you used to be. A healthy adult must respond to responsibility. The next one. A healthy adult will treat others with dignity. A healthy adult will treat others with dignity and respect. Even if those people don't have anything to give you or can't do anything for you. A healthy adult. So, when I throw this to you, the first question you ask yourself is, am I healthy? Do I only respect people because there's something they can do for me? Do I only honor people because there is something I stand to gain? If you do that, you are not healthy. The next one. A healthy adult can handle disappointment and adversity without being paralyzed. Life happens. If you're healthy, sometimes disappointments will come. Sometimes the things you didn't plan will just show up. When those things come, a healthy adult should be able to handle them without committing suicide. Before, we used to say in our country, to commit suicide is rare. Some people have proved us wrong. If I am healthy, disappointment won't crush me. If I'm unhealthy, disappointment will crush me. I'm running because I want us to discuss this. A healthy adult must understand that identity does not solely rest on achievement. Identity does not solely rest on achievement. There are four things you must put in perspective. acceptance, rejection, affection, approval. These four things, we must put them in perspective. Affection, approval, rejection, acceptance, then achievement. How do they work? The chemistry is easy. In a home, there is supposed to be love and affection. The mother and father are supposed to express love. The children are supposed to look at that environment and see love. That's what I mean by affection. A child has need for approval. That need for approval is supposed to be met with acceptance. So, which means your child has weaknesses. Your child has strength. These two things, you must first of all accept the child for who the child is and not stumble over who he is not. You must not say to a child, oh, look at Raymond. Raymond made all A's. Look at this. By the time you do that to the child, what you're saying to the child is, except you are an achiever, you are not worth acceptance. When that happens to that child, what's going to happen is very easy. The child will know that for me to be accepted, I must be an achiever. There's nothing wrong with being an achiever, but it must be put in proper context. The purpose of achievement is not to please you. The purpose of achievement is to give glory to God. When your child is achieving, all he's doing is just looking at your face alone. The moment he leaves your home, what happens? We will go into, when we talk about tools, I will balance all of that. A child, a healthy adult, must understand, must know how to tolerate frustration in when you are pursuing a new skill. A healthy adult must know how to tolerate frustration when you are pursuing a new skill. How do I mean? I want to learn drum. The day I start to learn the drum, I won't master it that day. The frustration that will come with it, I must learn how to tolerate it while I am learning it. Otherwise, I will give up halfway through. Or you want to learn how to drive, or whatever it is you want to learn. Because when you start, you won't do well. And the more you continue, it will take you some time to do well. The frustration that comes with it, you must learn how to manage it. You must learn how to tolerate it on your way to achieving it. That's one of the signs to know, to show that you're a healthy adult. So like I said earlier, that for your children, you must begin with the end in mind. I want this child to be a healthy adult. What is the vision? What is your idea of who a healthy adult is? Now, you can also make your own list what a healthy adult is. This is my own. And I said to you that we're going to look at three things. We have looked at first one, who a healthy adult is. And I said there are three non-negotiable rules when a child is going from a child to a teenager. There are three non-negotiable rules. And those rules are very simple. Number one, there must be respect. Number two, there must be responsibility. Number three, there must be risk. These are, if you're discussing with your child, as you're making this transition, these are three things that even if you don't remember anything, respect means you must train the child to treat people with courtesy and cordiality. FEM Foundation will call it the culture of honor, the code of honor. Especially in our generation now, where honor and good manners is being made to take the back seat. Tomorrow, when I'm talking about autonomy, I'm talking about belonging, and then I'm talking about identity, I will bring it back. These days, the culture is such that the word honor, the word good manners, the word behave well has been made to take the back seat. So some children are made to believe that if you behave well, you are a blast from the past. That the more unruly you are, the more you are a great guy. One of our teenagers was sharing with me, he just left for school. He said, Mama, he said, what I'm seeing in this school is shocking. He met a young man who is in 100 level. He said he's very slim, very skinny. And then he noticed that the boy was smoking. And then they became friends. What did the boy say? He said he started smoking at primary six. And he has been smoking from primary six till date. He doesn't live inside the campus. He lives off campus in Ekpoma. So he always comes back to the campus to smoke because he found a family among the people. And they will smoke and smoke and so they will go back. So this our son from this church started calling him Prince. And he noticed also that the more he calls him Prince, if he comes to smoke, you first of all come to look for him. He said, why do you call me Prince? There's nothing princely about me. Say, why do you smoke? He said, I was told at primary six that if you're a big boy, you smoke. So this is one of the signs that I'm a big boy. You know, the children can also be told, until you have sex, you are not a big boy. Until you have sex, you're not a big girl. That's why from the home, we are going to teach them, first of all, respect. If you don't know how to teach respect, take Frame Foundation Code of Honor, Culture of Honor, and begin to explain to your children. In fact, we are teaching the children, we have a curriculum to teach the children this culture at their level. Listen, you don't honor people because they are honorable. You don't treat people the way they treat you. You are installing a software that will follow them wherever they go. The second one, the second rule you must install is the rule of responsibility. House chores. House chores without coercion. I know you have money, but we must make the children do house chores. A research was done in Spain. But by the time they finished that research, they put in the school, a curriculum to teach children house chores in the school. Just like they teach you mathematics, English language, geography. They put it in the school to teach the children house chores. And our children, as part of responsibility, we must teach them to do their school work. Please, we must be intentional about it. Don't leave it to chance. My brothers and my sisters, answer me. Please, no matter how you are, take your children's life, put it as part of your schedule. Even the part of the schedule that has to do with checking school books. Sometimes these children will go to school, the note they give them, they will copy halfway through and leave it. Put it as part of your schedule. Put it in the schedule. It's teaching the children responsibility. And, okay, we'll go to that. The third one is risk. We must teach our children to avoid anything that is harmful to their life and dangerous. Exposure to drugs. Have you noticed that teenagers can see a cigarette that is on the floor, take it and put it in their mouth to check it? If they don't do that, they can take paper, wrap it by some of us, you did it. Don't look at me like you did it. Wrap paper by themselves, put matches, and they go hide behind the door to check these things. And then the thing will choke them. They will cough like Pastor Charles is coughing now. We must teach our children that this thing is harmful to you. This thing is harmful to your children. Now, there are so many rules. Just take three. My child, respect is non-negotiable. My child, responsibility is non-negotiable. My child, risk is non-negotiable. And then if you have done this, the most beautiful aspect of this is we need to know how to use these things to make transition. There is behavior. There is identity. They are not the same thing. How do we bring tools? What tools are we going to use to negotiate behavior from identity? Everything in the lives of our children is constantly telling them that they are not different from their behavior. Everything. So what should we do? We must understand how to use rank and relationship as tools to do these two things. Behavior, identity. Behavior, identity. For behavior, there is a tool you need. For identity, there's a tool you need. Let's take the first one. The first one is behavior. What tool should I use to direct my children's behavior? Simple tool. rank. God has put you as an authority figure. The position of a parent is a privileged position. God has given you a rank to direct the children's behavior. What do you do? Come back again to those three rules. The role, responsibility, respect, risk. These things are behaviors. And what are you going to use? You're going to use your authority as a parent to be able to organize this. Most homes, if you are not careful, your children can adequately run your home, including a two-year-old. When a two-year-old child knows that if he does, he will get what he wants. So the children can use you effectively without your permission. A four-year-old, a five-year-old, the moment they know that, cry, even a baby, know that once I cry, I will get what I want. When they ask you for something, you refuse. Whether the thing is good for them or not, what will they do? They will generate cry. What will you do? Oh, you feel so bad. You give it to them. You can give them your phone that you're using for business and you didn't bring it on time. They get into rage. They throw tantrum. They take the phone, bah, and put on the, and when you come, the child will lift himself and hit himself on, and stretch you and stretch it. And the discipline you wanted to give, you withdraw it and begin to manage that behavior. Once the child knows that I can get away with it, this child will do it again and again. It's a bit challenging to discipline, especially for those of us who waited for a long time for a child to come. If you are not careful, to discipline the child might be difficult. And again, first children, the children who are coming for the first time because they are your trial and error. You don't know anything about parenting. These children are the first. You're going to use them for all the mistakes. So how do we go about it? Very simple. Are we learning anything today? When it has to do with rank, how do you use your rank? You use your rank to create boundaries. You use your rank to create boundaries. What time is bedtime? Because our children love cartoon. So a child can stay in front of that cartoon and not put up the cartoon for 24 hours. You must use your rank. So how do you use your rank effectively? I want to give you some suggestions. Number one, all of us must understand what the boundaries are. Some of us, the boundaries are not clear. What the boundaries are in our homes are not clear. I didn't say the walls, I say boundaries. And some of us, we keep shifting the boundaries. We shift the bedtime today, the bedtime is 9. The next day, the bedtime is at 11. Another day, the bedtime is at 12. No. We must understand, everybody must understand what the boundaries are. If bedtime is 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, the much you can exceed is 9:30. So you don't come out from your room, you said the bedtime is 9 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock, 10:30, this teenager is going to say, I'm looking for my shoe, at 10 o'clock. I say, I want to iron my clothes at 10 o'clock, and then you are laughing. Say, your child will know that it's not any boundary. That the day you set it, you drank for me. He needs to understand that there are limits. How can you use your rank effectively? We need to clarify from the start who is in charge in this house. We need to clarify. How can we put boundaries effectively? Listen, it is okay for your children to be angry with you. Your children have only one parent. They have so many friends, but only one parent. It is okay for your children to be angry with you. Would they be angry? Weren't you angry with your parents? You that is looking at me. Did they die? It's okay. You say, you are not my mother and my father again. Okay. It's okay. So the advice I will give to us is, do your best Yes, your children are your friends. But be more of parents. Be more of parents. Be their friends, but be more of parents. Be more of a parent. They have many, your children have many friends. They have only one. So we can't joke with that in the lives of our children, because they have only about 6 years to be teenagers. The next point that, another suggestion I want to give us is, if you have limits, make sure you enforce it. Don't have limits you don't intend to enforce. The day you forgot to read your Bible, you will write Psalm 119. Don't be saying it and frowning. Don't be saying it and frowning. Are you feeling any pain? You are not feeling any pain. Are you feeling any pain? In fact, myself, when I'm giving it to you, I'll be sympathizing with you. Oh, I feel so bad that you're going to write this. I'm with you, but you will still write it. Are we together? If you set a limit. So don't set a limit you can't enforce. There are some of us, I will beat you now. No, they finish for your mouth. I will beat you now. No, they finish for your mouth. I will take you stonewall. So when your child does something, before you start, your child will say, I will take you stonewall. And then you repeat it. She's your rank effectively. You were once a child. Be consistent when you set this boundary. Listen, for teenagers, they will challenge your rank. Stay calm. Teenagers will push, if you put something, children, they will push it to see what you will do. Try with a little child. A little child of 2-3 years, you say, Ugwem, don't come close to this thing. Then when they come, you charge. They will, then they will look at you again. They will come. You know what? They will touch it a little to see what you will do. By the time they push it, the third, the fourth time, you didn't do anything, the next time, they will use all their muscle and push you to the ground. Tell your neighbor, use your rank. Tell your neighbor, use your rank. Wow. The next thing to use is relationship. Remember, you use your rank for behavior, but you use relationship for identity. When you have identity, you have ideas, you have values, you have opinions. You can't use this one, you can't use rank, you can't use force. When you are dealing with teenagers, you must make them understand that this thing I'm asking you to do is not for me. I'm not asking you to do for me, I'm asking you to do for me. Once a child sees that what you're asking him to do is for you, not for him, the child will resist you. And for the child not to resist you, you want them to have good values. You want them to have good opinions. You want them to have good ideas. It starts with relationship. The outcome of this is influence. You're going to influence them into our ideas. These days, the reason why some children don't go to church again is that we use rank. What we're supposed to use relationship for, we use rank for it. You can't force identity. You can't force ideas. So I just want to give us some suggestions on how we can go about it. For teenagers, you must get yourself ready to seek out time to spend with them. It's most difficult for teenagers to come to say they want to befriend you. So you must make time. You must establish time. You must say, come, let us talk. Come and spend time with me. I want us to talk. Another clue I can give you. Help your children to establish their own identity. Most times, your children will be very different from you. Most times. A man built a very big hospital in Benin City. The only hospital that was able to handle one kind of sickness, I won't mention the name. The first son, he built this hospital and he was planning that his first son will also become a doctor. This thing happened in Benin, when I just came to Benin, and handle this. And so anything, anywhere the boy moves, the father will say, I will disinherit you from the hospital now. Any little move. Now the child is secondary school, any little move. And then we just came to Benin many 20 something years ago. And the child will say, I don't want to be a doctor. When you say you disinherit me, secretly I'm happy inside my heart. Because if you disinherit me, I won't have to be a doctor at all. I don't like blood. I don't want to see blood. The mother is a doctor. The father is a doctor. Say he must be a doctor. The younger brother is a doctor. The younger sister is a doctor. The boy says, I don't want to be a doctor. They say you must be a doctor. Now the boy used mouth to talk. The parents did not hear. You know what the boy started doing? He started taking drugs. He would take drugs. He would be so high. And even in that drug, he would still be shouting, I don't want to be a doctor. The parents would beat and beat. Now, you can't use koboko and beat out cocaine. You can't use it. And eventually, did the child become a doctor? No. Is the hospital still there? No. Are the parents still there? No. Did the child become a doctor? No. You must allow your children, through relationship, to establish their own identity. Every parent, repeat after me, say, I will learn to listen. I didn't hear you. You sound so boring. I listened to an interview. Children were being interviewed. They said, why don't you talk to your parents? Why do you talk to your friends more than you talk to your parents? They say, our parents don't listen. He said, whenever you want to talk to your parents, they already have quick fees. They want to quickly fix the thing. He said, I'm not talking to you because I want you to fix anything. I just want you to listen. And they say, our parents are very, very judgy. Before you say anything, they have already started judging you. We don't like talking to our parents. And then many more issues the children raised. And they were trying to get them to get back and talk to their parents. They say it's comfortable to talk to strangers. The strangers don't know you, so they won't judge you. But when you talk to your parents, before you finish, listen, we must understand something. Sometimes when someone is talking to you, the person is not talking to you to get any answer. He's not soliciting any answer. He just wants you to listen. Sometimes the person who is talking to you actually knows what he wants to do, but he just wants someone to listen. And listening is a skill. And listening just simply means you won't interrupt. Listening also means that when the person is saying something, even if the person is a stammerer, you won't help the person to complete the sentence. Listening means you just completely shut and just listen. And listening involves your eyes, your nose, your body language, everything is listening. And if you're listening to a child and the child is standing, it means that you're going to decrease your height to come to the height of the child to listen. That's what it means to listen. And listening is very, very difficult because you're going to listen, and when the person finishes and solicits an answer, that's when your answers come. Tell your neighbor, listen. Tell your neighbor, listen. When you get home today, ask your children, do you think I listen to you? The next point, please, don't belittle your children. Don't embarrass your children in the name of correction. Don't belittle them. Don't embarrass them in the name of correction. Children are like us, except that they come in small size. Just imagine that you're going out, and Pastor Ben just say, Derek, will you come back here, you fool? And all his friends are watching. When you belittle a child, you have broken his spirit. That's why the Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Am I still your friend? We're going to do a little exercise. And that little exercise is in listening. For just 5 minutes, the person beside you will talk to you. This is 6:34. The person will talk to you. And you will listen. And when the person finishes talking to you, you will tell us what you feel the person is talking about. Then the person will tell us whether you were right or not. Because listening involves listening to what the person is not saying. There are some things people want to say. They don't know the best way to put it. They don't have the right vocabulary in English. Even if they use their mother tongue, they still don't have the right vocabulary to say what they want to say. So we're going to do a listening practice, and then we'll be praying for our children and ourselves. So someone is already sitting beside you. If you don't like the person's face, you can go and choose another person. Or you feel the person, you'll not be able to talk to the person. And then we're just going to, two people are going to tell us, if the person that is sitting beside you stammers, it means that it has your own will exceed 5 minutes. I have a nephew who went for evangelism during cure. And this, my nephew, stammers. If there's something called Stammerers Association of Nigeria, he's the president. So he went for evangelism. Before you know, he had finished the entire thing they gave him. His team members still have. So we thought that he very skillful in evangelizing. I said, how did you finish your own handbill in no time? He said, he will go to a shop. He said, go, 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 go. And he's holding the paper. He said, no. And he was laughing at himself. He said, the testimony is that they were even laughing. He said, one woman was frowning. When I said, we. So if that my nephew is beside you today, you will still be having your own discussion. I would have got you home. So we're going to do a listening practice. Just speak someone. I'm going to shut down the microphone. They're going to play a soft sound. And someone will talk to you for 5 minutes. So our time starts. When the person finishes talking, you stand up and tell us what you think the person, what you understood from what the person said. And then the person will concur whether it is what you said is what he said. So our time starts now. Bagabam. Time up. Who is going first? Who is going first? Who is going first? Who is going first? Okay. You're going to tell us what you think the person, what you think the person's is talking about.
Okay.
What do you think the person means?
What from the conversation, what he told me, what I think he means is, you know, sometimes our parents make us to be angry and they expect that we should obey them even when they are the cause of our anger. So, and because I cannot express my anger, I feel bad because I can't express my anger. And the Bible says we should respect our parents and honor them, but in the same light that they should not drive us to anger. And when it caused me to be angry and I'm not able to express it, it makes me feel bad. That wasn't what he said, but that's what I understand.
Is he correct? Was that what you said? Take your microphone. Stand up. Was what he said, was that what you were communicating?
Not completely. I can say about 40%, but not completely.
You see that a couple can fight based on... even the way Ifeanyi was speaking with confidence. The person that spoke said, so what you said, 40%. Don't be waiting, I tell you, now you talk, sir. Who is going next before we pray? Who is going next? Maybe we should tell the Kwako poems the way they are discussing. No, you know, couple can play Ojoro, even if it's not the words they say, hey, now wait till you talk. So let's find another piece. Would you tell, I know your husband is a righteous man, he won't lie. The way he looks like Dr. Bako. Dr. Bako does not lie. I hate lies. Okay. Mrs. Kwakobo, what did your husband say?
Okay.
What did you understand from what he said?
From what I understood from what he said is that he feels scared anytime I'm driving and I pick up my phone to take a call. Or and the speed is not so, you know, they are very cool people.
Okay, so Ghanaians are very cool people.
When I do all those things, when I'm driving and I don't take caution at times when he tells me to.
As a Nigerian. Kwakobo, was that what you said? Put your hands together. So one more person this way. I don't want a couple. I want an uncouple. Okay, bring to Auntie Portia. Bring to Portia.
Okay, what I understood from what she said is due to the message that she heard right now, she's telling herself that she wants to change on the way her child talks to her, and she rebuked the child in a particular way. Now she's changing, and she had made a vow right now to change. She will start listening to the child.
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's my little girl. Sometimes when he wants to talk, it's yes, that is. Praise the Lord. Yes, that is what I said.
Okay, let's. Are you brothers and sisters? Nephews and cousins? You look alike. Are you twins? Oh, you look alike. Oh, yeah. Who is the person that spoke? Okay, what did she say?
Praise the Lord. According to what she said, she says she was discussing with the wife.
What did you understand?
Okay. She said parents, we are supposed to grow up with their children. That parents before now, like their parents, never studied this program we are having now. They never got it. So they were not aware of how they should really parent children. That was what she said.
This is one is not my voice. Was that what you said, my dear? No, put your microphone.
Not really.
No, we didn't hear.
Not really.
Was that what you said?
Not really.
I bet you were listening. What did you... This thing he said is not what you said. Was it him you were talking to? Thank you so much. The last one. What I'm trying to show to us, that sometimes you think you are listening to someone, you are not actually listening. And sometimes our children have suffered in our hands because we thought we heard what they said. We didn't really hear what they said. The last one.
Praise God. From what I deduced that he was saying to me is that everything round about him is wanting him to play the role of a superhero. From the child being sick and him and the wife not being aware, and also from his job, everything is, you know, there's this drive for conquest, conquer, new task, new target, and every other thing. So he's trying to communicate to me that there is so much pressure on every side.
Understand from what he said. Yes. Okay, was that what you said?
Yes,
that's right. That's exactly what he said. Put your hands together for him. Praise the Lord. By this little practice, you have seen that we can listen to people with rapt attention and understand something different. My closing remark. Your children, the only thing that will go with them when they leave your house is your relationship, the relationship I had with them. This relationship will influence their ideas. It will influence their values. It will influence their opinions. Your rank, actually, when these children are getting to teenage age, they start getting to 16, 18, you have to reduce rank and use high relationship. When they are younger, you can use a lot of rank. You can use a lot of authority. But once they start getting older, you will find the best way to use a lot of relationship. Because when they leave your house, the thing that's going to go with them anywhere they are will be the relationship. So when they are outside, they want to do something. You know what they will say? This will hurt my mom. This will hurt my dad. I won't do it. Everybody rise on your feet. Tomorrow we'll be looking at how do we prepare. What I've just shown you now is how to use two tools, three rules to raise healthy teenagers. And those two tools is rank and relationship. Those three rules is responsibility, respect, and risk. With these two, you can raise healthy teenagers. Lift your hand, say, Father. Yes, Lord. Today, I bring my family to you. I ask you to write it in their hearts. Reveal us yourself to our children. You know, the Bible says our children shall be taught of the Lord. Those of us who already have children, those of us who are yet to have children, and those of us who are listening to us by any method, begin to ask the Lord, teach my children. You say, your children shall be taught of the Lord. I will teach your children. Message.